Hello, everybody. This is the response audio for all of the wonderful questions that I was asked during my week-long AMA, in case you couldn't tell from the title. Before I start, I just want to thank everyone for submitting your questions. I hope that I answered all of them with some degree of satisfaction. Now, without further ado, let's get started. Stray_thoughts, at least I think that's how you pronounce that? Anyway, 1. What's the story behind your username? Easily answered, my friend. I am Canadian. My paternal grandfather came from Norway. I was born in 1988. 2. As far as PTA/GWA stuff is concerned, is there any type of content that you haven't done yet that you'd be interested in trying out? Good question. I'm a bit of a romantic at heart. I very much believe in the whole concept of true love. And I've always wanted to do friends to lovers. Mainly because that's kinda, you know, how my fiancé and I actually became a couple. 3. Did you have any idols growing up? If so, who? Oh, yes. When it comes to fictional works, like novels and whatnot, R.A. Salvatore for his novels, Gene Roddenberry for Star Trek, George Lucas, I don't need to explain why, and if I do, where the hell have you been since 1977? The late and great comedian Robin Williams, whom I still miss greatly, and Gary Gygax, co-creator of Dungeons & Dragons. 4. What life philosophy do you most lean towards? Life has no inherent or intrinsic meaning. With that said, as one lives their life and undergoes many experiences, you find your meaning, your raison d'être, as the French would say. I also firmly believe that humanity can accomplish great things when we're united as one. When we put aside our differences, when we embrace what's the same, in spite of our differences, we'll be able to progress as a society, as a species, and we'll be able to accomplish things that we'd never be able to on our own. I truly believe in a future where nations, countries as we understand them, no longer exist, where the division of races no longer exist, where persecution based on one's beliefs or personal philosophies or creed will no longer exist. I very much embrace Gene Roddenberry's belief of a utopian world, one where we have risen above such petty conflicts, and we work together to enrich ourselves, to learn, to grow, to evolve, and become something greater than what we presently are. And as much as I enjoy talking about personal philosophy, I realize that this has gone on a bit too long, so I'm going to move on. Question 5. Spicy food, yay or nay? Yay! How can you not... I was raised in a rather sizable Persian community. I was exposed to their food and their culture very early on in my life. This includes spicy food. The spicier, the better. I want to be breathing and farting flames. And pitying my gallbladder. Up next is Captain Jericho. Excuse me while I salute. On a scale of 1 to 10, how Norwegian are your ankles? Considering that my paternal grandfather was from Norway, and the genes that I got from that side of the family are rather prominent, about 9 out of 10? Number 2. Whoa, this one's a long one. What would you do if Eugene says to Shirley, "Watch out for that hermit crab!" And Shirley says, "I'm keeping my eye on it!" And Eugene says, it shouldn't even be in a dentist surgery. And Shirley says, I didn't invite it. And Eugene says, I think it works here. And Shirley says, I doubt it. And Eugene says, can I ask you something? And Shirley says, go on. And Eugene says, what would you do if Gordo says to Melissa, watch out for that hermit crab? And Melissa says, that's not a hermit crab, it's the dentist. And Gordo says, that explains it. And Shirley says, well, where did that question come from? And Eugene says, I read it on a cereal box. And Shirley says, I'm not sure what I'd do in that scenario. And Eugene says, well, enjoy your bat mitzvah. I'm with Shirley on this one. I honestly don't know how I would, I'm not sure what I'd do in that scenario. And then Captain Jericho says, really? Why would you think that? And the Canadian Viking says, well, that's just who I am. Next question, please. 3. Why won't you just admit that you didn't invent ragtime?
Shh! Quiet! No one's supposed to know that I didn't, okay? I only have to carry the facade until I die.
By the way, I have a question for you, Captain Jericho. Want to smoke some pot? 4. No, thanks. Oh. 5. I invented shoe candles. Will you be my friend? I will be anyone's friend, regardless of your accomplishments. Midnight Lemons asks, 1. I swear you've done audiobooks before. Yes? Well, I did do a dramatic reading of Robert E. Howard's The Phoenix on the Sword, the first Conan the Barbarian story. I've got a link to it, but as for any professional audiobooks? Nope. Can't say that I have. I'd love to, though. 2. What kind of vocal warm-ups or vocal exercises do you do? Also, what kind of things do you do to keep your voice in shape before recording?
I drink the souls of the innocent.
Oh, excuse me. Damn asthma. It's that time of year, folks. When it comes to vocal exercises and warm-ups, I've done theater, so many of the vocal exercises that I learned there still apply. Question 3. Do you always wear matching socks? Yeah. Question 4. Cat or a dog person? I'm a cat person. I've always been a cat person. I absolutely adore them. Don't get me wrong, I love dogs too, but I grew up with more cats in my life than dogs. Yes, I know that I just quoted my response to you. And no, I don't have an original bone in my body. Not anymore. Next up, Muffled Karma asks, 1. If you could go back in time to one period/event and bring back a single item, where and when would you go, and what would you bring back with you? One part of me would want to go back to July 1st, 1867, and witness the founding of Confederation, which effectively made Canada the country that it is today. As for what I'd bring back, the newspaper the following day. But another part of me wants to go back to the Viking Age. Yes, I know, how predictable. I'd bring back an authentic Viking sword. Preferably an Ulfbert, because holy crap, those things are made from crucible steel! And the fact that the Vikings were able to work crucible steel? That is beyond amazing to me! 2. What are your favorite tags to record? Again, this is my romantic side showing, but BFE, L-bombs, cuddles, affection. Yes, I know. Scandalous stuff. They'll have to kick me off GWA. I'm firmly of the opinion that there aren't enough audios that feature an affectionate male. And given that I'm kind of that archetype, I feel that it's only natural that I would gravitate towards that. 3. Would you rather never wear socks again or never wear gloves again? Socks. Socks. Because, yeah, Canada. Lots of snow. I have thick boots. I would not want to, you know, not wear gloves and have my hands freeze. 4. Why are you so awesome? Try to remain objective, Mr. Viking. Oh, shush. And don't call me Mr. Viking, that's my dad. And even he doesn't like being called that. You know, I have no idea. I've always been of the philosophy that when telling a story, tell the best damn story that you can. And that applies to not just my series like The Island, but even to short audios, erotic or otherwise. And when performing, I put everything into the performance. If that makes me awesome, then I guess I'm awesome. But I'll never brag or admit it, because I try to be a humble person. 5. Apple or Android? Android, all the way! Besides, as we all know, Apple is really good
at pretending to be environmentally friendly.
And an automatic upvote from me if you can guess what I just referenced. Cuddles Galore asks, 1. Is Longship a euphemism for something? No, it is not a euphemism. Trust me. When the Vikings would go raiding, the ships that they would use were called longships, or langskip in Norwegian. Unfortunately, since I don't speak a word of Norwegian, I have no idea if the pronunciation was correct. When trading, they tended to use the nar, but since the longship is more iconic, I go with that instead. 2. Poutine? Every now and then. 3. What do you do with your sword? I stab people with it. Just kidding, I'm a pacifist. I actually have a replica Viking sword, and I have it on a plaque hanging on one of my walls, just to show off. Penny for your tater tot. I'm sorry, I just love that name. Penny for your tater tot asks, only question, why are we Canadians so fucking awesome? I know, right? But in all seriousness, I think it comes down to the fact that, well, we were a British colony, so we're polite folk. We gained our independence by asking nicely. And we're the northern neighbors of the USA. Think about that. It's Mr. Heal Yo Girl asks, 1. Axe, sword, or spear? Why not all three? Use the axe for when you want that sheer, raw chopping power. Use a sword when you want to trade raw brute force with increased elegance and accuracy, and a spear to pierce through armor. 2. Favorite type of meat? To prevent the risk of sounding like a cannibal and saying, my fiancé's vagina, beef. 3. Trebuchet or catapult? When you think of siege weaponry, especially medieval siege weaponry, a trebuchet is a type of catapult. A trebuchet uses a weight counterweight system, whereas what we think of as a catapult, which is technically called a tension catapult or a torsion catapult, doesn't use a counterweight and instead uses the tension of a rope and the kinetic energy from releasing that rope that keeps the bucket held back. That's what it uses. A trebuchet, it's great for firing at a distance, but as the projectile flies, it loses a lot of the energy, and when it hits a wall or hits a tower or when it impacts, it's not as effective as a torsion catapult, which is shot mainly at closer range, and thus it retains most of its kinetic force. Really, it depends on what you're looking for. If you want to shoot a target at a distance that may be less effective, then go for a trebuchet. If you want to risk getting shot at a closer range, and want to do more damage, go for a torsion catapult. Of course, by the time that gunpowder was discovered and the invention of the cannon came about, catapults, trebuchets, those types of siege weaponry became obsolete and were phased out. 4. How good are you at rowing? Not bad, actually. I can row a canoe, and I've gone kayaking before, but I have more lower body strength than I do upper body strength. I have my years of training in judo to thank for that. 5. How much would it take for you to go questing with me? You already have my attention. What sort of quest are we talking about? Honeysilk asks, 1. What would you do if you could live in a fictional universe for a day, and which one would you choose? Oh, that's easy. The Forgotten Realms. It has been my favorite D&D campaign setting ever since I discovered the game back in 2006. To me, the Realms is D&D, and it has such detail to it that it feels alive, it feels like a real place. And Faerun, the continent where most Forgotten Realms stories and campaigns take place, It's big enough that everyone has room to tell their own stories. Just take a look at the sheer number of game supplements and novels set in the Forgotten Realms that were produced by both TSR and Wizards of the Coast for the past 32 years. As for what I would do, I'd go about Waterdeep just exploring the entire city. For those who don't know, Waterdeep is the sole metropolitan city on the entire continent of Faerun. It's like a cultural mosaic in city form. I guess we have Ed Greenwood, the creator of the Forgotten Realms, to thank for that. And also the fact that he's Canadian. 2. What is your favorite pizza topping? Pepperoni. 3. If you could only watch one movie for the rest of your life, which would it be? Frozen. Or Moana. Or maybe Star Wars Episode 4. Or if you count all 3 of them in one go. Or I guess all 6 if you want the complete story. The combined The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Though I'm pretty sure we can all agree that The Hobbit did not need to be a trilogy. In fact, it could have been a 2-parter. I honestly don't know. I can't choose just one, to be quite honest. 4. If you had a time machine, would you rather look into the future or change something in the past? I firmly believe that the past made us who we are, and changing it would potentially change who we are. So I would look into the future. I'd maybe kinda get the numbers for the lottery, especially if it was a big jackpot, or, you know, visit my descendants. Or I could, you know, get, like, a hyper-advanced computer, bring it back in time with me. Yes, that would be awesome! In fact, I think you just gave me a few ideas for an audio drama. Thank you! John KPF. Ooh, hey, a resident of the West Frontier. Hey there, neighbor. Asks, I wanted to ask what your biggest inspiration is when you make your productions. And also, I know nothing of D&D, but is there one character you created or someone else that did that you'll never forget? Thanks for posting this AMA! Smiley face. Well, thank you for asking your questions. For your first question, what inspires me? It ultimately depends on what sort of story I'm trying to tell. Right now, with my current production of The Island, I'm going for, it's one part survival and one part love and romance. And I'm taking inspiration from TV series like Lost, old radio dramas from, like, the 30s and 40s. They really need to make a comeback, man. I'm less interested in telling stories about, you know, the conflict between good and evil, because those are done to death. I'm more interested in stories that focus on character growth and character development, where the characters have to work together to overcome obstacles that are thrown in their path. They learn more about themselves and about each other. And the listener, the audience, goes with them on that journey. So we see the character developing. We see the character maturing and becoming something more than what they already are. As for projects that are in the works, I'm currently brainstorming ideas for a fantasy series, so I've been reading a lot of fantasy fiction. The aforementioned R.A. Salvatore, Michael Moorcock, the Elric Cycle, the Hawkmoon Cycle, the Corum Cycle, Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman with the Dragonlance Saga, classic Robert E. Howard, Conan the Barbarian, Fritz Lieber's Fawford and the Grey Mouser. I'm also reading up a little bit on, or refreshing myself, on Anne McCaffrey's Dragon Riders of Pern. I may not have agreed with her personally, but damn it, she can tell a good story. And that's really what matters. I've also been told that the late Ursula K. Le Guin's Earthsea series is a good read. I have no idea where to start, though. I honestly hope that answers your question. As for your second question, a favorite character that I or someone else made, I do have a favorite character. Keep in mind, I'm frequently the dungeon master, so any chance that I can get to play instead of DM is always, it's always memorable to me. From about 2009 to about 2014, 2015, or somewhere thereabouts, I had this half-elvish wizard, Corvus, or Crow as he was known. I partly based him on Raistlin from the Dragonlance saga, but I gave him an incredibly snarky attitude. He was the first one to point out any obvious holes or problems in a given plan. He would keep getting into duels of sarcasm and wit with the party bard, and even though he came off as a bit of an asshole, he genuinely considered his other party members to be his best friends. Hell, he even married one, the aforementioned bard. He has long since retired and is enjoying a life of just exploring the outer planes, spending time with his family, discovering new ways of magic. And he still pops in from time to time in the campaign when the current characters bite off something more than they can chew. He's also a frequent patron of one of the party members' inns, which is basically their source of income when they're not adventuring. And on more than one occasion, he has offered the party some quests. Of course, by then, I had taken over DMing that campaign. So, of course, the character that I played is going to cameo a few times. He's still in touch with his old companions, and he still gets letters from them from time to time, just to let the players know that even though they're no longer playing their old characters, they're still going on their own adventures. They're still out there exploring, doing God knows what. Truthfully, the way that I'm planning the current campaign, I intend on ending it with this massive crossover event where the two groups come together to fight this big climactic battle against a common threat. Little Fuck Bunny asks, what's your spirit animal or favorite animal? You'd be surprised to know that my spirit animal is a bear. What's the first album or book you bought? You mean with my own money? That would be the complete core rules to the revised 3rd edition Dungeons & Dragons, the Player's Handbook, Dungeon Master's Guide, and Monster Manual in a single gift set. Best $120 I've ever spent. Do you have a pet? If so, what flavor? Sadly, the building that I'm in does not allow pets, but my fiancé has two cats that will become my step-fur babies when we get married. Are you actually a Viking? No, that's just my persona. The Viking Age ended 1,000 years ago. But if I were to go back in time to the Viking Age, well, I'd have no problems fitting in because I'd look like them, thanks to my Scandinavian ancestry. Wouldn't understand a word of the language, though. Though I suppose it wouldn't be that difficult to learn because English and the 5 Scandinavian languages, Icelandic, Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, and Faroese, are all Germanic in origin. They all come from the same proto-language, so there's considerable overlap between them. Are all Canadians really super polite? Well, that's the stereotype. I mean, Canada has its fair share of assholes. Look at Doug Ford. It's just, as with all countries, there are good people and there are not so good people. The image of Canada is generally around the good folk. That's how I've seen it, at least. And I do my best to uphold that image. Every time a tourist ship comes into the harbor, I'm generally inclined to stop and offer directions or offer help to someone if they need it. Hell, I've even gone into a bit of local history when one summer a couple from Melbourne, Australia came by and were inquiring about a certain building in the city. What color of socks are you wearing? Well, I'm barefoot right now, so can't answer that. Actually, I'm quite naked right now, but that's neither here nor there. Next, the Canadian Viking 88. Huh. Why does that screen name seem familiar? Anyway, the Canadian Viking 88 asks, "Hey Viking, when's Chapter 2 of The Island going to come out? I want to know what happens next." Look, buddy, it comes out when it's done, okay? The Island, like Linkara's History of Power Rangers, has no set schedule. I thought I made that quite clear in my behind-the-scenes audio for the prologue in Chapter 1. So you guys can stop PMing me asking when it's going to come out. If you're that damn eager to know what happens next, fire a message my way. I'll send you a link to my Discord server. And that's it. Once again, thank you to everybody who submitted questions. If you have any further questions, feel free to ask them on my subreddit. I will provide a link in the post. I also have a small but slowly growing collection of exclusive content that's only available on my subreddit. There's really no need for you to feel shy, so come on over and say hi. I had fun doing this. I'll see you guys later.